Today we begin a series. I don't preach sermon series too often, but in Advent, with four Sundays, with Christmas Eve, it's a good time to gather together some themes. And one of the themes that I've always loved is the theme of the angels of Advent. So we're going to start a series on the angels of Advent, those encounters with angels that convey the message of the coming birth of the Christ child, of how God interacted with his chosen people through this time to prepare the way of the Lord. Today, we're going to look at Joseph and the angel. Next Sunday, we'll look at Zechariah and the angel. The third Sunday of Advent, we will look at Mary and the angel. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we will pause and the choir will bless us with their Christmas cantata. And on Christmas Eve, we'll look at the shepherds and the angels and the beautiful affirmation that God prepares the way for God to come into our lives in these angelic announcements that often pierce into the very stuff of life and disrupt us, yes, but also get our attention. And today we begin with Joseph and the angel. Now, Joseph had just received some bad news. He found out that the young maiden to whom he had been betrothed, to whom he had been engaged, she was pregnant. Bum ba dum bum. Bad news indeed. The law made it clear. It would have been within Joseph's rights to have had her stoned to death. Now, we may say, what? Yep. In the ancient world, in that culture, in that time and place, for a woman who was engaged to a man, they didn't seem to care what the man did, but if the woman was found to be pregnant, she could be stoned to death. It was within his rights to demand that. He could have had her killed for this, for adultery. But rather than doing this, Joseph decided he would take the gracious way out and protect her by having her sent away to give birth to her baby in safety, where she wouldn't be executed, she wouldn't be disgraced, he wouldn't be disgraced, and it would all be private. But no, that wasn't to be. Joseph was told that he wasn't to put her away. He was to care for her. He was to take her as his wife and raise the child as his own. Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, I suppose Joseph could have ignored the angel. It would have been easy. After all, it says it happened in a dream, so there were no witnesses to the event. He could have gone on and done what the law said that he had the right to do. He wasn't going to do that. He was going to have her put away. He still could have done that. He could have had her put away and not married her and not move forward with a life with her and put her away, and she could have lived and he could have moved on. But no, the angel spoke to him. The angel spoke to him in a dream. The angel got his attention. Don't do that. Don't be afraid. Because his life and his reputation could have been at stake too. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The child conceived is holy, blessed by God, uplifted by God, identified by God, marked by God, anointed by God. That's the meaning of the word Messiah. It means anointed one. Chosen by God. And she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. He could have not listened. He could have done what he had already planned, but no, he listened and he obeyed. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. I once read a series of posts online on a debate board, this was back in the 90s, about biblical names, and how some of the skeptics were saying that obviously few of the New Testament names were Jewish names, and hence they were made up by Gentile Christians many years later. But that's not the case, friends. For instance, Paul is the Gentile formation of the Hebrew name Saul, Saul. Matthew is the English formation of the Hebrew name Mitayu, which means gift of God. David, or David in Hebrew, means beloved. The names all are Hebrew names with Hebrew meanings. Jesus is the Germanic and Anglicized version of the Greek Jesus, which is taken from the Hebrew name Yeshua. We normally translate from the Old Testament Yeshua as Joshua. That's Jesus' name, by the way, Joshua. But we prefer the Greek formation of it, which we vocalize as Jesus. The Hebrew name Yeshua means salvation or deliverer. It's formed from the divine name Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahweh our deliverer, Yahweh our Savior, God our deliverer, God our Savior. That's his name. That's what his name means. That's why he was told he was to name this child that, because he will save the people from their sins. What's further interesting here is how the author of our gospel lesson picks a scripture and gives a different name for the Messiah. Now, this one used to bother me a lot. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now, firstly, Matthew doesn't identify which prophet it is. You have to go search for it. Thank God for computers. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Emmanuel, the one who is with us, the with us God, the God who remains with us, the God who abides with us, the God who is with us and within us and among us and goes along with us, the God who doesn't leave us or forsake us, but takes the journey with us and goes through life with us and goes through death with us. Emmanuel, the one who is with us, is Yeshua, the one who saves, delivers us. That's who this child will be. That's who this chosen one will be. That's who this little baby born in Bethlehem of Judea in a stable, in a feeding trough, placed there and wrapped in swaddling clothes, that's who this one will be. The one who is with us, the Holy God who is with us, who saves us from our falling short, from our missteps, from our sins. This message from the angel Gabriel, this message to Joseph, is a type, an example of the kind of messages that God gives to us daily, day by day. If we are open and aware and pay attention to what's going on around us and pay attention to what people say to us and pay attention to what we see in our midst, if we are open and aware and receptive, God is speaking to us in many different ways. I went on a trip to Poland many years ago and visited Methodist churches and friends in the faith from north to south. And met a lot of wonderful people. But I remember I was getting ready to come home, and I was really worried and I was concerned. And I was staying at the Hilton in Warsaw, Poland, and I was waiting for my room. And if you travel internationally, you know that sometimes you get someplace and you've got to wait hours to get your room. So I'm sitting in the waiting area in the lobby, fidgeting and worried about a situation that was going on at home with a church member who had died, and I was having trouble getting through, and the time change, the time difference, many hours time difference, was causing me all sorts of trouble. I was just fidgeting, I was worried, I was upset. I went and I asked if the room was ready, and it wasn't. I came back, and I noticed that while I'd been up at the front desk, a little old lady had come in and had sat down on the sofa near where I'd been. So I sat down, and I'm fidgeting, and I'm trying to place a phone call, and I can't get through. The international operator said that they couldn't get me through at that time, and could I wait and try again, or if I had, you know, could I send an email? Well, no. So I was just frustrated, feeling absolutely hopeless and helpless. And this little old lady, and this is in Poland, mind you, gets up, moves over, and sits down next to me, and says, "What's wrong, hon?" In perfect English, "What's wrong, hon?" And I scratch my head. I can't get through. I'm trying to call through to the U.S., and I can't do it. She says, "Well, it's really early there, hon." "Yes, I know, but I've got a church member who's, and a mother who's died, and I'm worried about the situation." And she said, well, hon, just give it time and be patient. And what I said last week, she taught me that there's nothing you can do. And fretting and worry about it isn't going to help. I said, "I know." And she reached out and she patted my hand. She said, "Just take a deep breath. Breathe in." So I breathed in. "Breathe out." So I breathed out. "Breathe in again." I breathed in again. "Breathe out," and I breathed out. "Now, go find out if your room's ready." So I got up, and I went up to the desk, and I asked, I identified myself, and asked if my room was ready. And they said, "Oh, yes, it's ready now." And they handed me my room card, and I said, "Ooh," and I turned around to go back, and the woman's gone. And I looked around the lobby, and no, I don't see her anywhere. And I turned around, and I said to the woman at the front desk, I said, "Did you see that lady who was talking with just a minute ago? She's sitting right there when I got up to come. Did you see where she went?" And the lady at the front desk said, "There wasn't anybody there." And I felt a chill go through me. At the exact moment when I was most concerned, when I was most worried, when I was afraid, when I was fidgeting, and it was obvious, some unknown stranger helped me to breathe and calm me down and remind me that, as Jesus said, it does no good to worry. You don't add any hours or years to your life if you do. You take them away and just try to be calm and let it go and let it go to God. I don't know if she was an angel, but from that moment, in that time, in that place, she was an angel to me, whoever she was. And her voice spoke truth to me. And I experienced God's presence right there in that moment. And to me, that's what an angel does. Through word, through action, through sometimes just a smile, God speaks to us through many angels. Through many sisters and brothers and siblings in Christ, God speaks to us. And if we'll pay attention, we will be changed. That's what Advent is about. Paying attention to God. Paying attention to the presence of God. Paying attention to the angels that God places around us. Paying attention to the calling that we have received to be made ready. To not just receive, but to share the love of God, the love of the Christ child. with all that we meet. In Advent, I want us to take a little time, take a moment, and listen to the voice of the angels. Today we have Joseph hearing the voice of the angels saying, "Don't put her away. Don't be afraid to marry her. Marry her, take her as your wife, and raise up the child and name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." Where is God speaking to you? Where are the angels speaking to you today? Last week, we handed out a notebook, spiral notebook. We've got some in the back. If you didn't get one then, you can get one now. There's some questions on the front of it. This is one of those questions. Where have you experienced God in your life? And what do you believe God is saying to you? What is God saying to you? Here at the first Sunday of Advent, in the first week of Advent, in the first week of a brand new church year, what is God saying to you today? Specifically in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances, what is God saying to you? What are God's angels saying to you today? When you get home, if you didn't bring it, when you get home, write an answer to that question in your spiral notebook. Yes, we finished Thanksgiving. And sometimes you wonder, what do we have to be thankful for? We have many things to be thankful for. And given the challenges that we have faced and are facing now, we have so much to be thankful for. Likewise, what is God saying to you today? Next week, we'll hear what the angel says to Zechariah. Then we'll hear what the angel says to Mary. Then we'll hear what the angels say and sing with the shepherds. What is God saying to you today? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's peace dwell in your